Hey, Gary. Good to see each and every one here today. This is special. Special time, special place, special people. And good to have so many visitors with us. By the way, you're no longer a visitor now. You're home folk, okay? Was that quick enough? Okay. So now we're so glad that you are here, just part of the family of God. We love you in the name of Jesus. How many of y'all know Ed? Well, that's... Did you know Ed the Talking Horse? Did you know him?
I did.
Okay. He knew... He was personal friends. And what about you? Do you know Ed? It's kind of, now, this is a not trivia, but it's not a trick, but do you know Ed? Anybody else know Ed? If you ever met Ed in the Bible... Isn't that amazing? Ed's been there all this time, and you didn't have the opportunity to meet Ed. Tricky question? Yeah. But it's always something good to challenge the mind. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about Ed. Now, you can say, no, not the talking horse. Sorry, Jim. But we're going to be meeting this guy. Because he has a very interesting thing. Actually, it's not a person. I'll go ahead and let you in on that secret. But we're going to meet Ed. That's coming from a Hebrew word that's transliterated. It's going to be in King James Version. If you're in a different version, you won't see Ed. You'll see witness. But we're going to look at Ed as we approach him. But in reaching out to him, what we're going to do, we're going to carry you to a place in America. A place in America that many never even knew it existed. I talked with people who have been to Plymouth, Massachusetts many times, and they didn't even know it existed. And so we're going to carry you to another place over the next few weeks, and we're going to introduce you to some ideas and some concepts. But these ideas and concepts are going to be coming out of the text. We're going to be coming out of the book of Joshua. And so therefore, as we look in Joshua, we're going to see some interesting things that are happening. One of the interesting things that happens is when your notes all of a sudden go berserk on your iPad, you say. Okay, y'all give me just a minute because something is happening. I may have to call on Larry. Ah, yes. Electronics. Scare you slap to death. Ed. Joshua. Larry. There's something going on, buddy. Y'all just hang on there with me just a minute. Let me just swap out some notes here.
He's going to the written one.
Yes, sir. Thank up the Lord for the backup. I apologize for that little bit of electrical difficulty there. In fact, you've got my second copy, Larry. You're now just follow my instructions. All right. Now we're looking at Ed, and the reason why I'm bringing Ed to you in just a moment here, we're going to be looking at Ed as the discovery of rediscovering faith. I want to carry you to some markers that are here in this land that you're going to ask yourself the question, what is Ed? And I'm going to respond to you by saying, do you know what a covenant is? And when I begin to focus on the covenant, it's going to be a series, Rediscovering Faith in America, from some time past. Prophetically, my heart's desire is to change America. That's my heart's desire. I mentioned this to a lady in Maine. One of the desires that I had is to change the faith of America. And she says, but she said very positively, that's a mighty big job. And you know what? It kind of dawned on me after I said it. Change the faith of America? Yes, the same way William Bradford did. William Bradford said, you light a candle And then that candle lights another candle. And then that candle lights another candle. And all of a sudden, you can literally change the world in which you live in, and we can literally change our country by lighting a candle. And we're going to be, practically speaking, we're going to be establishing a community of faith. Now, one of the things that we think about a community of faith is, how deep are we rooted into our faith? I ask you the question. How deep are you rooted into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm going to follow up that question. How deep are you rooted into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at State Line? Now, establishing the church is the echo of the historical voices. God in His infinite wisdom chose you. He did. God knew you before you were even born. Did you know He gave you a name before you even born? God did. That's what the book says. We read that in our small group this morning. He knew you. And therefore, He knew you. He gave you a name. He's also given you the future. Now, but in the course of time, life, blood, sweat, and tears, the roots that you put down, will your children follow that same path? I'm going to be carrying you back into the 1600s in the next few weeks. Carrying you back into the 1600s, I'm going to carry you to 1620 and 1621. I'm going to carry you where 40 people came across on a ship called Mayflower. And on that ship called Mayflower, they stopped in a place called Plymouth, Massachusetts. Half of them didn't live through the winter. Why did they come? They came to establish a community where they could worship God freely. They were not subhuman. They were not weirdos. They were people just like you, just like me, wanting to go to work, wanting to eat, wanting to provide for their family, wanting to have life, liberty, and some would say the pursuit of happiness, but I think our country missed something. I think life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness. Therefore, what's happening? The roots that you've put down, the next generation, will they get it? Now, the reason we're going to do this is we're going to go back in history and we're going to see that back in July the 22nd, 1620, the pilgrims left Delfshaven, Holland on the Speedwell. And the Speedwell, they'd bought that ship and that ship didn't make it. And so they had to get on board of the Mayflower. And when they got on board the Mayflower, they had to reduce the number of people who were going over. They reduced it back to 40 and they had 70 people already on there. So it was these who gathered together to go across and start this new place. And why did they go there? They went there because during this period of time, a guy named John Robinson wanted to, and a group of people wanted to worship Jesus. Just worship Jesus. Not worship the king. Not worship the pope. Not worship the church. They wanted to worship Jesus. And because they wanted to worship Jesus, many people said, oh, you're different. And they called them separatists. And then the separatists, when they flipped over, and the separatists, when they came to America, they called them pilgrim. And I'll give you the reason they called them pilgrim. Maybe, well, let's look at this verse right here, Larry, in Hebrews. The scripture says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a pilgrim? Are you a stranger? I didn't say, are you strange now? Because I know a bunch of you are strange. But are you a stranger on this earth? And are you a pilgrim? Wow. All of a sudden, you just made a connection around 300 or 400 years ago when you became under the realization you wanted to worship the Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth. That made you different. And because of this, they were being persecuted. Many of them were being thrown in jail. But they gathered on board and they went across, and for about 66 days they went on what was known as the Mayflower. And when they finally made it to the States, they boarded off the water, and all of a sudden a guy named William Bradford looked around and said, "You know what? There's other people here talking about exercising their freedom, so we better come together, draw up an agreement of how we're going to start a colony, live together, worship together, get along together." And so before they ever got off the Mayflower, they did what is known as the Mayflower Contact. And I wanted to read this to you. November the 11th, 1620, the Mayflower Compact said, "In the name of God, amen. We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God and of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King, defender the faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia." They didn't know exactly where they were, but they said the northern parts of Virginia, "do by these presents solemn mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant, combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought the most meet and convenience for the good of all of the colony, unto we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have underscribed our names at Cape Cod on the 11th of November in the year of the reign of the Sovereign Lord, King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Dominion 1620. Now, didn't that bless your heart? And you ask myself, what did he just say? Let me tell you what I just said. If we're going to get along together, we got to make a covenant. Let me say it again. If we're going to get along together, we got to make a covenant. Because when things get tough, we're going to have to depend on each other. Let that sink in just a moment. If we are going to start a light that could literally change America, we have to have the light burning in our home. That light has got to light somebody else's candle, and that light's got to go out. You ask yourself the question then, why are we going over to Yorkville Heights and doing a block party? Why? If you notice, it's an evangelistic block party. Our desire to go into Yorkville Heights to light a light. We're going to feed 500 hot dogs. We're going to have jumpers. We're going to have crafts. We're going to have drama. We're going to have music. We're going to have preaching. All of this, all this fun stuff comes together so we can light a light. But we've got a covenant together. Now, when you say covenant, what does that mean? What's a covenant? An agreement? Yeah. A signed formal agreement? No, I'm not going to pass it around. But are we going to make an agreement that we're going to make a difference in our life? Are we going to make an agreement together? We're going to make a difference in our family. Are we going to make an agreement that we're going to make a difference in our church? Are we going to make a difference that we're going to have an agreement to change our community? Now, you may not be sailing overseas, going to a foreign country, but you're right here at home. The covenant still applies because we use the covenant of grace. Now, in order to capture this, over the next 3 weeks, I got to carry you down a journey. And this journey begins with a group of guys that are 70 of them, in fact. 70 of them got hungry. Food will do a lot of things to you, right? I ate my first lobster up in around Portland, Maine. And I ate that. I ate that crawfish that had steroids, you know. I cracked that rascal open, and it was. I'll tell you about that later. But anyhow, that totally blew my mind. I'm lost. I got to come back here. 70 guys got hungry. They ended up going to a place called Egypt. One of the brothers was down there. His name was Joseph. And so Joseph, he kind of set things up. God moved him down there in advance and kind of set things up. And they went down there as a covenant people. And they lived together. And for 400 years, they lived in a region called Goshen. In that region called Goshen, all of a sudden, they multiplied like crazy. And then the people of the surrounding territories said, they're becoming too powerful. Let's make slaves out of them. And as they began to make slaves out of them, they started crying out to God. And when they cried out to God, God said, okay, I'm going to deliver them. And they raised up this guy, and this guy's name was Moses. And now Moses, because this is 400 years later, he leads about a million and a million and a half people out of Egypt into the wilderness, into a place, modern-day Israel. They're on the other side of the Jordan. They just conquered the land on the eastern side of the Jordan, and there was two of the family members, or actually two and a half family members, they call tribes, two and a half tribes of Israel. Israel was the father. Two and a half of the tribes of those who followed him, his children, and the people who lived behind him, said, we want to live on the eastern side. And he said, okay, I'll let you live on the eastern side, but this is what you got to do. You got to go with your brothers. You got to make a covenant. You got to send the men, and you go with your brothers. They're going to cross over the Jordan River. They're going to conquer the land there that God promised them. And when they conquer the land that God promised them there, then you can go back over the Jordan River and you can live there in peace. But you got to make a covenant. Reuben, Gad, and a half tribe of Manasseh said, we make that covenant. Now what happens? They go over, and the battle's on. They kept their word. That's where I want to pick it up. In Joshua chapter 22. In Joshua chapter 22, we're asking ourselves the question. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, hath commanded you, and obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these days, up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as he promised them. Now, therefore, return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. What is happening here? You see the blessings. And inside of the blessings, all of a sudden, we begin to learn about Ed. The first thing that Ed says, Ed holds us to keep our commitment no matter what the cost. That's what Ed is telling us today. Do the covenant. Keep your word. In other words, when you make a covenant with other people, God holds you accountable. He said, look, I'll give you the land to these two and a half tribes. I'll give you the land, but you've got to go in. And you've got to stay with the stuff as long as it takes, no matter what it costs. Many of those tribes went in and they died for this reason. But they kept the cost. They did it. Because a covenant is, what is a covenant? A covenant is made between people with purpose. That's what you got to do. You make it with people. In other words, if I covenant to you to go out and to do something, then what am I to do? I'm to do it. What if it costs you life, liberty, and limb? Then I'm still to do it. A covenant you make with people. You see, when you make a covenant with those who are around you right here, you're saying, look, I'm going to love you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to stand with you. What's the covenant? Some people don't want to make a covenant. Some people want to just fly around. They don't want to put roots down. They don't want to say, hey, this is important. For this period of time, I'm going to pay the price. Not forever, but a covenant. And so right here we see a covenant is made with people. He said, you've kept all that. That's what Moses said. You've kept the words that you committed to Moses. You've obeyed my voice talking about Joshua. And you didn't leave your brothers. You watched their back. You cared for your brothers. You fought with them. And you kept the charge. And because of this, now it's time for you to rest. The war's over. Secondly, a covenant contains terms with established goals. The established goals was, go in, conquer the land, and when your brothers are at peace, then you go home in peace. That's what they did. They made the covenant. They made a covenant with goals. But then, a covenant also recognizes the place of God in the community of the people. What? Yes. You see, you don't just go in and conquer. You recognize there are certain things that transcend even the covenant that you made because they're transcending into life. God says, this is what life and purpose is about. And that's the reason why He said, be careful, take heed, to do the commandment and the law of Moses. By the way, okay, test time. What's the commandment and the law of Moses? Anybody? That's one. The Ten Commandments. Name them. That's okay. Are you doing them? Yeah. I look, when you make a covenant, just because you finished the contract, life's not over. And so what he's saying, keep the commandments. The servant of the Lord God commanded you. And what did the servant of the Lord God command you? He said to love the Lord your God. Hey, what do you love? Fishing? Hot dogs? Pizza? Salad? Haddock? Oh, I love my wife too. What do you love? What do you really love? I mean, what's on the tip of your tongue? What's in your bloodline? What rings your bell? Love God with all your heart. Hey, is that covenant over with? No, it's not. Love God with all your heart and then to walk in all His ways. Is that your ways? Well, it's your ways only if you're walking His ways. Are you walking? Where's your love? Where's your commitment? Where's your covenant? Where's your love? Where's your walk? And that's what he said, walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and to hold fast to him. And then to do what? To serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Boy, does that take care of it all? Are you serving Jesus that way? If you're not serving Jesus that way, then you're falling down on your covenant. On the covenant that you made when Jesus Christ came into your life and when He saved your soul, when He gave you a place of eternal life, when He gave you a place in heaven, then He said, this is what I'm asking of you. Love me. Serve me. Give me all your heart. Go into places. Go into areas in which you're uncomfortable with. But that's what He did. They recognize this. And so Joshua, he blessed them and sent them away. But I want you to know something else that Eb reminds us of. In verses 7 and 8, he says, now to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but to the other half of Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan, westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them. And he spoke to them saying, here we go. Okay, This is after they had fulfilled their covenant, but this is sound counsel. He said these words: return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold and bronze and iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. So the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of the possession which they had obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Did you hear what they did? How has God blessed you? What has God blessed you with? What are you to do with that? Bless others of your family, in your covenant family, in your covenant relationship with. You see, it's not just about you. It's not just about what God blessed you with. When God blesses you with something, then what does He want you to do? He wants you to bless your family. If God gave you the ability to fight, to conquer, then when you go back home, those who kept the home fires burning, you share with them. You share with them. Covenant. Covenant. Now, Ed reminds us to share the wealth God provided through faithful obedience. Now, this covenant is really, it's a covenant that contains principles of integrity. And in the principles of integrity, right here, what he's saying, divide the spoil with your enemies. Now, when this happened, next thing I want you to see here is that Ed reminds us to protect the faith for future generations. Hey, what have you done? Let me ask you a question. What have you done for your future generation in regards to the faith? What have you laid down? You know what some people did? Some people do. Some people put in their last will and testimony a presentation of the gospel, because they know that after they're gone, when the will is read, all of their family will hear the gospel. Isn't that neat? What have you done? What have you done to pass on? Some have a family Bible, and they pass that on. What have you done for the next generation? Because you see, you may have it all over you. You may be sold out to God, and the fire, the Spirit may be just all over you. Because you captured the vision. You were the one out there who kept the covenant. You were the one who crossed the Jordan and conquered the land and conquered the enemies. You're the one who brought the bounty back. You're the one who built the business. You're the one who saw God do something big in your life. But it's kind of like in the business world. First generation makes it. Second generation maintains it. And the third generation loses it. Whoa! What are you passing? You gotta. This is where Ed comes in. The victory day. In verses 9 and 10, we read about the children of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe Manasseh. That was their victory day. But on the way home, they did something. And I want you to read. Look in verse 10. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, Gad, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. I bet you don't know what that altar's name is, do you? Don't guess. Okay, but they built this huge, impressive altar. What were they doing? They were preparing for the next generation. What have we done? What have we done? Let me carry you. I want to introduce you to Ed. What would a modern Ed look like today? By the way, Ed is from the Hebrew word head. It's head. It sounds like that. The word head or Ed, it means a witness. It means a testimony. Specifically, it means a recorder or a prince. It's a witness. So, what would a modern day look like? This is what it looked like. This is modern day Ed. Now, what you're looking at there is found in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And right on top, you'll see this woman. And if I did the zoom in, back up one, if you see on top, this woman, she's standing, and I'm going to be bringing some better pictures, but I hope you can see her finger. Can you see her finger where it's pointing? It's pointing to heaven. Her name is Faith. While I was taking this picture, there was this guy that walked up and he said to me, I come up here every year to get renewed. And he said, do you see Faith? He says, that's my daughter. I named my daughter after her. Right on top of this large, the third largest statue in the United States, the largest granite statue in the United States, right there, pointing up, recognition of the Mayflower and the Pilgrims, right there, this 81-foot tall statue is there with her being up there. It was originated, the concept came about in 1820. It began in 1850. It was concluded in 1859 or dedicated in 1889. But on this monument there in Plymouth, Massachusetts, rising up so that future generations, when future generations want to know how the faith came about in America, how the United States was established, we want to give you a landmark so that you can go back and you can see it, you can visualize it, you can understand it. In rapid fashion, right on top, you have Faith. And she's pointing to heaven. What you can't see, and you'll see it next week, she's holding a Bible in her arm. The Geneva Bible. That was the Bible that was written in the English language that they could understand. Around here, around Faith, there's four platforms. Next. And we're going to go to morality. In morality, and what you're looking at here, this, she is named Morality. If you look closely, you'll see her eyes are blind. Because what you're having there, you're having somebody look inwardly, inside. Morality begins within. If our country, established in community covenant life, it's got to start on the inside. But you'll also notice she's holding something there in her left arm. You know what she's holding? Ten Commandments. Morality begins inside on the Word of God. And if you notice in her right hand, do you see that she's holding something? She's holding a Bible. And what she's holding there is open to the last chapter, the Revelation. And so therefore, with the law of God, with the Revelation, which was the first chapter that was translated into the English, with the Word of God, with the revelation of God, inwardly there's a change. If we're going to have a covenant relationship, morality, it's got to be built on morality. Next slide. Out of morality, when you start dealing inside, you've also got to go outside. Outside is how you deal with people. The next phase in which we're looking at here is law. Inside of law, if you look and you see something in his left hand, what do you see? You see the Ten Commandments. Our country was founded on the Word of God. The Ten Commandments was very much a part of it. And we're going to break law down. There's a couple of subcomponents that we're going to look at next week. They're on the side of him that you can't see right there. But law, if we're going to get along together, we've got to have a civil authority. We've got to have law. If we don't have law, we'll be lawless. You start inside. You go outside. Next slide. And how do you pass that on? Her name is Education. If you notice in her left hand, she's got a copy of the Word of God. And what is she doing? She is teaching. If you notice, she's a young woman. She's not an older woman. She's a young woman. She's got a smile on her face. And what you can't see up close right now, she's wearing a law. She's wearing that in victory. When you start inside and when you go outside, if you're going to have victory in a covenant relationship with people, you're going to have to educate those who follow after you about truth and how to live together and how to get along together. You've got to have education. And what we're going to study, look at next week, is that you're going to see that the education begins in the home. That's where it takes place. Next slide. When inside, you've got morality. When outside, you've got law. When you teach it to the children, liberty. Then you will experience liberty. Hey, this guy's not a pansy. This guy's not one you just want to go up. He's got a sword in his hand. I'll bring it closer next week. He's got a sword in his hand. He's got chains that were on his legs that are broken because he's a free man. He's a free man. Liberty. You see, our country has a definite target. Is a definite path. It starts inside. It goes to community. We teach it to our children. And we fight, if necessary, for its freedom. And one thing I've learned about studying the Pilgrims over the last couple of weeks, these guys are tough. They read the Word of God in one hand. They went to church with a musket. I always had their gun at church. These guys were tough. They helped establish liberty. What do you say? I'm saying today, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be in covenant relationship. We need to put roots down deep. We need to be established upon principles that we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm saying that we have got to look inside with the Word and let the Word change us, mold us, and make us. And from the morality inside, then we've got to treat our neighbor as ourselves. We've got to love and we've got to care for them. And I'm saying that we as a country, we as a family, we as a church unit, we got to educate our children into what truth is. Because listen, folks, they're getting lambasted with error. They got to know the truth. And then we've got to teach our children that you got to fight for it. You got to stay with it, whatever it costs, whatever the price. The children of Reuben, Gad, and a half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over the Jordan River, and they fought for their brothers so that they would have peace before they ever experienced rest. We as a church have got to make covenant to fight for the kingdom. God has a plan for us, and that plan includes liberty and rest. Are you willing to make a covenant? Are you willing to say, Jesus, I'm in. Jesus, I'm in. That's what He's waiting on. For some of you this morning, Jesus is waiting on you to say, I'm in. He's waiting on you to make a covenant. When you make that covenant, remember, it's personal. It's with people. It's with integrity. It has a goal. You remember that these things are lasting. And even beyond the initial covenant, there's principles of life that go on. Hey, Ed says, sign up today. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, we want to come with hope in our mind. Father, we come believing that we can make a difference. We come believing, Lord, that when we go out to over there on Yorkville Heights and we lift up Jesus, that people will be drawn to Him. And we covenant as a group of people there, where we're willing to get in there in the sweat and do what's necessary so that the gospel can be proclaimed. We do that, Lord. And we're in. We're in, God, because we love you with all of our heart. We love you with all of our soul. And we're in, Lord, because we want to love our neighbor. We're in, God, because you blessed us. And you blessed us, and we want to bless other people. Not just for us, God, but for other people too. We want them to share in what God has so richly blessed us with. We want to be a part of other people's lives. So God, today, we want to start it fresh. We want to look, Lord, at the monument of our forefathers and say, hey, there is a plan. We want to look at the Ten Commandments and say, hey, these are for today. We want to look at each other and say, you can depend on me. So today, Lord, we make our covenant fresh with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the covenant. What is that covenant? Covenant for some, it's time for you to sign up. It's time for you to put your name on the line. It's time for you to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and say, all the way, Jesus, all the way. How you do that? Give him your heart and tell Jesus, I'm in. Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For you call on him, you're in. And for some, it's time to put down roots for that contract period of time, that covenant period of time, whatever that covenant period of time is for you at this church, put down roots. Take somebody's back, protect their back, and say, I'm there. You can count on me. I'll be there. What is God saying to you this morning? Let us know. Prayer altar is going to be open. If you don't have anything to pray about this morning, please pray about the block, evangelistic block party. Please pray about that. One day this week, I trust that you'll spend a day of prayer and fasting for the evangelism of those in that area. Spend a day with God today. Let's stand together as we sing.